Welcome to episode 425. Are you sick of counting calories, using MyFitnessPal or chronometer, and still not getting the real weight loss that you want? I talk a lot about how my clients don't count calories and still very easily achieve their health goals. So on today's episode, I have 7 factors that explain how you can lose weight, stabilize your blood sugar, reduce your inflammation, get rid of your brain fog without counting calories. And on this list, I think numbers 4, 6, and definitely 7 will kind of surprise you a bit. Anyway, without further ado, let's get into it.
Welcome to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. You've tuned in because you want to start taking your health seriously so you don't, well, get sick and die. Here we talk all things health, nutrition, and human optimization. Let's jump into it with your host and resident scientist, Maddie Lansdowne.
What's up, my healthy friends? Welcome back to another episode of the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. I am Maddie Lansdowne and or the Real Weight Loss Coach. I go under many names and aliases. But it's my mission to coach 500 people to achieve real weight loss. And by real, I mean more than just the fat, cutting more than just the fat. And we do it without counting calories, without embarrassing weigh-ins, or without telling you which foods you're not allowed to have, right? And you're probably wondering, how on earth do you do that? Well, I'm going to tell you 7 of those things today. And if any of this resonates and you need support with it, which in my experience, many people do, then the link to inquire about our support and programs for emotional binge and overeaters or people that want real weight loss, they're down in the show notes below or the caption below. So head down there, click the link and just suss it out. Check it out. All right. The reason I wanted to put this together is because I'm often asked when people are inquiring or on social media, how on earth do you do this without calories? Or people say it's impossible to do this without counting calories. And I would say that the reason that one thinks that is because they have tried many, many, many attempts surrounded by personal trainers, nutritionists, doctors, and all of these health professionals that bang on the data drum, right? You got to do this. You got to get the numbers. You've got to get the science. You've got to put it in and get a graph and plot your blood sugar. And you've got to get a CGM and stick it in your arm so that you can track the numbers, the numbers, the numbers. I just want to jump in here and remind you that these tools only existed since, at best, you know, the 40s, you know. But more recently, this technology has come into play in the last sort of 30 years. And in recent years, with the development of tech and algorithms and AI, it's moving very rapidly. These are very new tools. However, the issue with being overweight and obese and all of the medical terrifying consequences that come on the other side of having excess body fat or having an obesity or morbid obesity status, all of those diseases, for the most part, have skyrocketed in the last 50 to 70 years. 70 years ago, there was very few. Nowadays, there's tons, millions and millions of people in all of the countries that are listening to this that are suffering the consequences of being overweight, of having a body that carries too much body fat. And I'm not blaming you. I think the system is set up to fuck us all over, to be totally honest, to be blunt. If you're new here, I'm often blunt. And that's not your fault. However, the catch is because I don't have multiple billion dollars to be able to, you know, tackle the government or tackle the FDA or the TGA or, you know, start an entire agricultural revolution, we're left with what we need to do ourselves, what we can do ourselves, what we can reach ourselves, what's within grasp. And so we can't fight the system with fire. We can't fight fire with fire. We have to fight it with personal empowerment and changing our own lives and getting in communities of people that share like-minded ideas about getting healthy. Because right now, the only people that benefit from you being sick are big pharmaceutical companies and the medical system, and by default, the government, because the government has deals with pharmaceutical companies and you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's no benefit to you for being overweight and unwell. There's no benefit to your children. In fact, it's terrifying for your children if we're modeling how to be in the world as unhealthy people and we're not prioritizing ourselves. That's a conversation we'll get into in this podcast episode. So it's really important that we take this personal empowerment one little teaspoon at a time and make changes ourselves. We don't need calorie counters for the most part. It's useful. It's interesting to study a bit of information and say, oh, yeah, that's interesting that there's this many calories in this food, or I ate this much calories, or whatever. But millions of years, depending on your belief system, millions, thousands, tens of thousands of years, we were able to live in healthy bodies that were well adjusted to nature, that did not have pretty much any of the modern chronic diseases. You know, there was a few people that had them or had genetics for them long ago, but it was very minuscule percentage of people compared to where it is now. So that's my argument for why you don't need calorie counters, is that we figured it out in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, before things really started going wrong, and for the thousands of years before that. Anyway, let's get into this list. So there are 7 things that you need to be able to not have to count calories and successfully lose weight, okay? And I'll also add on some, you know, some other ones that sort of are worth considering but aren't always relevant to everyone at the end. Okay, number one is sleep. Sleep, I believe, from my experience, from my research, from my study, sleep is the number one most important health variable. Now, why is this going to contribute to you not having to count calories? Because if you get enough sleep, then your body doesn't need extra fuel to stay awake longer. It's that simple. It's like having a tank of petrol in a car that can go 100 kilometers or 100 miles. And if you don't sleep at the right time or park that car in the garage and turn it off, then it has to find a way to be able to go more kilometers and more miles than its tank has capacity for. It's that simple. And so if you regularly don't get between 7.5 and 9 hours sleep, even if it happens one night, if it's less than that for one night, the very next day results in a situation where you need to eat more calories to compensate for the amount of awakeness and aliveness that your body had to overcompensate for, because you were meant to be resting, which means a number of your conscious functions should have been switched off and not burning calories. Okay. Plus, you have sacrificed fat burning time, which happens in your sleep. Plus, you've sacrificed immune function, which also happens while you're asleep. And so you do this for even, let's go to 6 hours, you know, 6 hours every night for a week. You know, you're missing already 14 hours of sleep in that scenario. And the reason I said 7.5 to 9 is because we go in 90-minute sleep cycles. Most humans go in 90-minute sleep cycles. The reason 8 hours is the recommendation is because that would suggest that a little bit of time to fall asleep, a little bit of time to wake up means that you've got the minimum recommended dose of 7.5 hours, right? So sleep is really important to make sure that you wake up with the capacity to have a normal day and not need extra food or cravings or sugar to be able to push you over the I didn't get 8 hours, so I need more fuel to compensate for what I'm lacking from the night before or the weeks before. And many of the parents, particularly mums listening, know that they have been underslept for a millennia. So it's no wonder that your body is really struggling to lose weight, or that you feel like you have to count calories, because you get to the end of the day and you've got this hunger. But if you track calories, you have to use willpower to be like, no, don't eat it, don't eat it, don't eat it. That hunger is real because you have been depriving your body from the things that it needs, or your body is requiring extra energy and nutrition to simply stay awake, right? So sleep, getting enough sleep. Okay. And I understand everyone's in a different circumstance. You might be a night shift worker. You might have a newborn baby. Can relate, or soon I will be able to relate. and those periods of time are crazy. But the problem is that a lot of people enter those periods of time and they become the new norm, or they don't spend intentional time fully recovering their sleep cycles. So anyway, sleep is number one, most important. Every other health variable sits upon it. The next one, hydration. Many people go towards food and snacking incorrectly, mistaking hydration or the requirement for hydration as a food craving. And so you move towards food or you snack unconsciously, when actually a glass of water would have solved the problem quite easily. Now, I don't want to get this misconstrued. Some people, every time they're hungry, they go towards water as a weight loss strategy to try and trick themselves into not being hungry. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about maintaining hydration. And when I talk about hydration, I also mean electrolytes. Now, electrolytes are your minerals, you know, and you can get those from lots of different foods. If you're eating correctly, you'll get a lot of them from food. But also, if you're working outside, it's summer and you're sweating a lot, you're going to the gym regularly, you're probably sweating a lot of these electrolytes out of your body and using them internally as well. So sometimes an electrolyte replacement drink is a good idea. And actually, that can also help with satiation, right? Because the way that you feel full after a meal is that you're, you know, getting all of the right nutrition, and that includes getting the right electrolytes. So one way to deal with cravings or hunger is to actually make sure that you're getting enough hydration and enough electrolytes throughout each day. And you'll notice over time that cravings and desires for food that are unhelpful actually start to disappear. Or in part, they start to disappear if you do all of the other things that I'm talking about today. So that's one piece of the puzzle, is that you want to feel satiated after you eat. You want to feel satiated, you know, when you get the right nutrition in. And part of that is the electrolyte component. And part of that is being hydrated and not seeking food that your body can extract hydration from, because you're sort of doing a double hit there, right? Is that you're getting the hydration you might need. Let's say you go towards fruit and you're getting the hydration you need, but you're also adding calories and you're also adding sugar. Now, I'm not demonizing fruit in this example. I just wanted to use an example of something that had a good water content in it. When in actual fact, that person in that situation, in this hypothetical situation, might have solved their problem correctly by simply having a glass of mineral water that's got the minerals in it and it's got the water, and then they're fine for another few hours until lunch pops around, right? So that's number two, hydration and electrolytes. Number three is exercise. We live in a physical body, and for most of human history, both men and women were using that body and using the muscles to do normal life. Now, obviously, we can't go back to caveman days and, you know, live like then and have to do all the heavy lifting and all of those things. And sure, we live in this amazing world now. I too am a beneficiary of the technology and advancements that we have that make life so much easier. But we're also at a place where the cost of convenience in our life is hugely detrimental, because a lot of us aren't moving like we should. A lot of us aren't lifting like we should. A lot of us aren't stretching like we should. We're not getting outside. We're not moving our bodies, which helps your cardiovascular system improve. It helps your blood sugar stabilize. It helps your body utilize the fat resources that you have there to burn as fuel. Okay. And also, you're not increasing your muscle mass. So as we get older, we lose our muscle mass more and more. Okay. And that's not a good thing, because your muscle mass, your lean muscle mass, is a very important part of your endocrine system. So your hormonal system. And the older you get, the more you want to maintain and or grow that muscle mass so that you can have more stable hormones and live a healthier life. It's no secret that when you see somebody that's 50 years old or 60 years old and they look fit and well, that you think, whoa, I wish that was me, or they must be so healthy, right? Guess what? They are, for the most part, unless they're, you know, on roids, okay? But for the most part, they are. That lean muscle mass for young people is beneficial, for middle-aged people is beneficial, and for elderly people is beneficial. It will make your life experience so much better. Rather than spending 30 years slowly like degrading, or your muscles shrinking and atrophying because you're not using it, you don't want to be in a situation where you're spending 20 or 30 years where your body's falling apart, right? You want to be strong for most of that until you get to really old and then, you know, die in your sleep, right? Rather than slowly decay in a chair in the kitchen where your brain rots and your body falls apart and you're taking 400 different medications. Okay, so exercise, and I think mostly weights, because you want to build that muscle. And all the things I'm mentioning here are a part of health, like building that muscle. And also the good thing about exercise is it will drive your hunger in the direction that you want it. So you're eating in proportion with the workouts that you're doing, rather than just mindlessly eating for the sake of distraction or procrastination. You're actually eating to replace the energy you've spent doing hard things with your body. So exercise is a really important factor to be able to consume food at a rate and a pace and, quote unquote, a calorie amount that is required and natural for your body without counting the calories at all. Number four, getting off medication. Now, I'm not advocating for that people just get off their medication and they just abandon their drugs, because for some people, there'll be a slight dependency there. And for some people, shit might go haywire if you do that. So this needs to be a slow process that you do with your doctor. And I would like to highlight that many doctors are not interested in helping you get off these medications. Why? Because medical doctors are not trained, for the most part, to look for the cause of disease, especially GPs, because they are not specialists. They're not solution oriented. They want to give you maybe a solution to something short term, like an infection, throw some antibiotics at it, whatever. A lot of the chronic things that you've got going on, or medications that you're taking for those chronic situations, and, you know, cholesterol medication might be one of them. Nobody is really looking at what to do to fix that problem. Okay. And there are a lot of consequences to taking cholesterol lowering medication. And I actually did an episode talking about cholesterol and the history of the industry and the drugs. And so if you want to check that out, the episode is called "Is My Cholesterol Really a Problem?" And it's episode 136. So once you're done here, go and check that out. Anyone that's on statins or cholesterol lowering medication, please check that episode out. I think it'll blow your mind a little bit. Anyway, the point is, we want to get off these medications. Why? Because they mess with your body's natural signaling system. They mess with your hormones. They mess with your neurotransmitters. Not all of them. Many of them mess with something, right? That's why there's this huge list of, with every drug that your medication you might be on, there's this huge list of adverse effects or side effects or problems that you might have. And that should be terrifying to most people as to how many things could possibly go wrong. Okay, especially when there are many natural alternative ways to deal with the cause of the problem. And so the reason that you want to get off medication, or the medications that you can eventually get off, the reason this will help you with not having to count calories is because it's going to stop messing with your gut health. It's going to stop messing with your neurotransmitters. It's going to stop messing with your gut-brain signaling pathways, which give you mixed messages as to how many calories you need. Or it destabilizes an otherwise regulated system in ways that you don't anticipate. Now, there are many drugs where people prescribe them, or people, doctors, you know, medical professionals prescribe them and say, you might gain weight, or you might feel emotionally erratic, or you might have sugar cravings, you know, or your appetite will be stimulated. Okay. And also, if we're disrupting the gut health and the gut-brain connection and neurotransmitters, we're also then playing with mental health a little bit. And often when people's mental health is unstable, what do we go towards? Food is a comfort. You know, that's a big part of the program that I run, Emotional Binge and Overeaters. And if you're interested in that, scroll to the show notes and look into it. There's a link down there. Click the link. Let's chat. But the point is that these things can possibly destabilize your mental health in a way, or your mental perspective on what's going on, and lead to overconsumption, right? So another way to not have to count calories is to get off these medications that are messing and manipulating your body in its natural state. Obviously, that also involves actually focusing on the cause, going to a natural health professional that will help you focus on the cause. And that's a big part of, you know, the message that I preach on this podcast is go to the cause, go to the root cause. And the people that help you with that are often going to be naturopaths or TCM doctors or Ayurvedic practitioners. These days, we've got many doctors, medical doctors, that are actually doing additional training that are interested in helping people get to the root cause and solve it. But I think that's really important, because these medications can really mess with your caloric intake. So another way to not have to use the apps to count the calories. Okay, number five, bit obvious this one, but nutrition, of course, nutrition. So we want to get the food right. And the basic premise is JERF, right? JERF, just eat real food, J-E-R-F. And that means whole real foods. And the reason you want to eat whole real food is because your body is far more likely to understand what it's consuming and the nutrition that you extract from it, as opposed to an ultra-processed food that's in a bag, a box, or a can that does not have the correct flavors in it, that does not have the correct nutritional profile in it. Because one way to think about your gut and your satiation and your satisfaction and cravings is that when we eat, we have stretch receptors in our gut, and we also have nutrition receptors, or quotas, or KPIs is one way to think about it. And the idea is that when we eat, we want to be able to get to the end of the meal and think, yeah, that was good. I feel comfortable. So you want to feel like you've physically put enough in your belly. So the stretch receptors have stretched a little bit, and all of the nutrition that you've eaten through your stomach, but also through the taste buds on your tongue, all of these messages go to the brain to give you an indication that, yeah, we've got enough nutrition here. We've got enough protein, we've got enough fats, we've got enough carbohydrates, there's enough minerals in here, and we're hydrated. Yep, we can stop eating comfortably and have no cravings. So getting the nutrition right is really important. And there's a million different dietary templates out there that are focused on weight loss, but they're not focused on being healthy. They're not focused on long-term health, longevity, maintaining muscle mass, all that kind of stuff. If your nutrition is not maintaining health status and lifespan and health span and your ability to do well in life in all areas, then that's the wrong nutrition plan. If you're just focused on weight loss and you're doing juice cleanses and cooking your gut in the process, or you're depriving yourself of red meat, or you think vegan's the latest craze for you, and you're doing these hardcore restricted fasts, that is not in the interest of your longevity, your muscle mass, your health span, your immune profile going up to be able to defend you against infections, all of that stuff. So your nutrition, your whole real food nutrition, needs to be correct for your body so that you are able to live a healthy, abundant life long into the future. Because believe it or not, weight loss and nutrition isn't just about getting skinny for bikini photos on Instagram, right? And if you're somebody that wants to look skinny for an event in 4 weeks or, you know, whatever it is, then you might need to look into your psychology there, because that's really unhelpful. And you're probably someone that's been on the yo-yo diet roller coaster for years, if not decades. And I'm guessing you're really fucking over it. You actually want to get to a place with your body and your health where you're just there now. That's just your new normal. It's where things last. They're sustainable. They're consistent without needing to use willpower or any of that kind of stuff. Okay. And if that resonates, then you're in the right place, because that's the kind of work we do. That's what we're talking about right now. So get your nutrition right. Don't go for skinny nutrition. Go for healthy longevity nutrition. Okay. They look very different on the plate. Do you want to know how to lose weight without counting calories or needing to use restrictive diets? Turns out the answer is on Instagram. You might be interested to know that over 70% of our paying clients begin their journey with a weight loss goal. Most of them achieve this goal without fad diets and without calorie counting. And in the process, they also rewire their brains to stop craving sugar, and they stop their secret binge eating sessions without the need to use loads of willpower. Why does what we do work? Because the fat that you want to lose, it isn't just about the calories you're consuming. It's actually wild how differently we do things. We work on your mind and your body gets better. And I think more people need to know about how we can do this for you too, which is exactly why I'm back on Instagram as The Real Weight Loss Coach. If you want to know how to really drop the weight that's been holding you down, how to keep it off, and to stay healthy long into the future, then follow me on Instagram. The link to my profile is in the show notes below, or you can search for me on Instagram by typing in The Real Weight Loss Coach. Give me a follow and I'll chat to you in the comments and the DMs over there. Number six is, this is one of the ones I thought would surprise you. So emotional healing. Why is that important? Because I've developed this idea called food-bonded trauma. And trauma meaning catastrophic trauma, and trauma just going all the way down to small stuff where it's like, you know, I just don't believe in myself. I don't think I'm worthy. I'm not lovable. You know, somebody said something mean to me. Somebody called me fat. All the way up to like horrific sexual trauma, war trauma, you know, all of it. The reason that this is important to not have to count calories is because emotions often drive our food decisions, and often our really, really poor food decisions. And many of us make those every single day because we're driven by some kind of emotion, some kind of heaviness. Occasionally, it's a positive emotion that drives us in that direction. It depends how we've developed our bond to trauma and food, or you might even remove the word trauma from the food bonded trauma thing and just food bonded emotion. That's a thing that many of us have because we're so surrounded by bag, a box, or a can, you know, fluorescent colored marketing, crazy health claims that aren't real. And so we've attached over the course of our life particular emotional states to particular foods for one of two reasons. One is that that food might get us out of that emotional state and trigger pleasure and happiness and dopamine, the pleasure hormone, one of the pleasure hormones. Or we've actually go towards that food to experience more of the shitness, you know, especially if we don't feel worthy. A lot of people use food to punish, to confirm their beliefs about themselves, that they don't deserve good things, or they don't deserve to lose weight, or they don't deserve to be healthy. And no, I'm the fat person. And a lot of this is unconscious. Many people discover this for the first time listening to my podcast, is that I think emotional healing is a really, really important factor for not having to count calories. And that's the reason our program, our flagship program, starts with the emotional healing, because you don't need to worry about calories or the amount that's on your plate, because after we've done all the stuff we're talking about, you will naturally build your plate and eat to a point that is right for you, that is natural for you. It doesn't mean you don't slip off the bandwagon. It doesn't mean that it's not hard work. It doesn't mean that it doesn't take time to change these internal narratives and heal these internal wounds, learn to prioritize yourself. But the point is that this is what I believe with my experience and my background as a scientist and a nutritionist and working with hundreds of people and sitting in front of hundreds of people in clinics and hospitals and all that kind of stuff. I believe in the Western world, this is one of, if not the main thing we need to do to be able to be healthy, to be able to maintain healthy bodies, to be able to be strong, to have good immune systems, to make clear decisions, to be good leaders for our children, is emotional healing. And some people will roll their eyes and say, just toughen up, get over it, life was shit for all of us. Yeah, it was. And the generations before me that didn't deal with their shit, all they did with that was make heaps of really bad mistakes to themselves, to their health. They destroyed relationships. They were shitty parents. You know, insert chaos. So as much as I agree with the let's toughen up, you know, take it on the chin narrative, there's a time and place for that. But equally, if emotional damage or trauma was a part of your past, then it has resulted in you not showing up very well for your kids, for your partner, for yourself, punishing yourself with food, destroying relationships, refusing to get healthy, sabotaging yourself and other people, then emotional healing is part of the answer. And we need to be able to do that to be able to get your food consumption to a place where it is natural. You are not licking your wounds with chips or crisps or chocolate or ice cream. You're actually learning to love yourself and heal your wounds. And yeah, love yourself sounds a bit like blah, woo-woo, toughen up, Maddie. But you've got to love yourself. You've got to respect yourself. And sometimes all of us don't feel those things, but a lot of the time we need to. We need to give ourselves a break because the worst critic that you'll ever meet in your life is the person in the mirror, right? We're mostly horrible to ourselves and we use an excuse of this is how I hold a standard for myself as the reason as to why we do that. Trust me, you need to learn to break up with that because it's very destructive. And the people around you that are learning from you, likely children or people you're mentoring, they're not getting the best of you. And they're learning how to lick their wounds with food. They're learning how to not deal with their stuff. They're learning how to create a body that is overweight and unwell because your leadership is leading them in that direction. And I don't mean to be, you know, offending anybody by saying that, but I'm being direct and honest about what our world looks like right now, which is that most people end up overweight because their parents led them there. They learned how to eat. They learned how to deal with their feelings. They learned how to respond to situations with food because that's what happened at home. They did not learn how to cook. They did not learn how to process their feelings because that's where their parents led them by embodying that at home a lot of the time. So emotional healing is a huge part of this, working on your food-bonded emotion, working on your food-bonded trauma so that you don't need to use willpower to grit your teeth and get through uncomfortable times. You can show up as the person you truly want to be and be proud of that person. And when things don't go to plan or you fall off the bandwagon or you get triggered or pissed off or hurt or wounded, that what happens next is that even if you do make some poor food choices in that moment, you're actually able to turn things around really quickly rather than be stuck there for weeks or months or years until you hit the bottom of the barrel again and say, fuck, I've got to change. And then you get on a new January bandwagon for a few weeks and then absolutely tank with your results really quickly. And then you abandon yet another year of not looking after yourself, prioritizing yourself and making excuses as to why this is hard for you and nobody else, right? So number six, emotional healing. And even though I've been very real and direct and you might be like, this guy's too harsh. I think we have a beautiful community of humans that are going on this journey in our programs that get a lot from a nurturing, compassionate environment. It's not a kumbaya experience. It's a real, direct, honest, supportive, nurturing space where we're real about stuff, you know? And so if you're ready to begin doing this real work to achieve real weight loss and cut the weight that isn't necessarily about body fat, but might be about trauma and stories and limiting beliefs and all the things holding you back, and you want to prioritize yourself and you want to be healthy and you want to be a role model for your kids, then the link to inquire about what we do and how we do it is in the show notes down below. Head down there. We've had over 350 people through our programs at this point, and we have over 100 different video and written testimonials of people that have had fantastic success. But it takes a little bit of courage and it takes you being willing to give up the calorie counting, give up the apps, give up the yo-yo fad diets, give up the extreme workout routines that all worked for a little while over the past few years or decades. You got little results here and there, or you got big results here and there, but you weren't able to be consistent. You weren't able to maintain them. If you want to be able to lose the weight, get healthy in a way that lasts and is easy and simple to be consistent long term, head to the show notes down below and click the link because I think I got what you need. All right, number seven, social connection. Now, this one is one that I wanted to sort of surprise people with a little bit too, because anyone that's ever studied a health degree, there's a thing called the social determinants of health. And the social determinants of health is the idea which is taught in mainstream medicine that I learned at university, is that your postcode is more impactful on your health outcomes than your genetic code. Let that sink in for a moment. Your postcode or your zip code, more powerful than your genetic code. Why is that? Because fundamentally, we're animals, we're pack animals, we're tribe animals, and that means that we want a place where we belong. Because if we're out in the world and we're in a situation where we're alone, as a pack animal, that feels like a threat to our survival. And most people spend too long alone and you start to feel depressed. In the beginning, you probably feel like this is a nice break from hubby and the kids or my partner, and you're like, oh my God, how relaxing. More of this. Then a few days later, you're like, oh, actually, I do miss the way she snores, or I do miss the kids being annoying, you know? And so that's because we're pack animals. And so the reason social connection is very important to not have to count calories is because if you are in the wrong social group or you are belonging to the wrong social group in the context of your health journey, then you will behave like they do. You might deviate every now and then, like the yo-yo dieter will over the years, but eventually you'll be bullied in or pressured in, consciously or unconsciously, by the group to conform to the norms of the group, to the family, to the social circle, to your friends. And so no matter what you try, you'll be forced back into what the group accepts as normal. Or you'll find another group where new normal is very different, right? Where new normal is being healthy. The new normal for you is prioritizing exercise. And the transformation and change and evolution that you go through is something that is celebrated, that those people champion. And it's like, you know, the snowball rolling down the hill gets bigger and bigger. And it's funny that I said bigger, but I'm actually talking about getting healthy, because the idea is that with this health stuff is you want to be in a community where doing more and more and more of it and getting healthier and healthier and healthier is validated and confirmed as good and accepted and allows you to have a sense of belonging, which is a big part of the community that we run, is the fact that it's a community of like-minded people that feel seen, heard, and validated by their healthy choices and celebrated when they make another step, rather than your husband or your friend making passive-aggressive remarks or digs because you won't join them for a wine or you won't eat the hot chips or you've decided that gluten-free is the answer, whatever the thing, you know, those passive-aggressive little chips, people commenting, why are you eating? Are you sick? Are you pregnant? Like, what's going on? You know, when actually you're just like, I just want to be healthy, goddammit. You know, leave me alone. Stop wearing me down. Stop bullying me into having a glass of, or a beer or, you know, whatever it is, or the chocolate. I want to actually be able to embody this healthy lifestyle that I'm learning about and do it. And so having a social group, which is a part of the consistency club. So a lot of people stay in our consistency club when they finish our programs, because that community is the health community that they now feel a part of that celebrates the wins and the progress. So social connection is really important for not having to count calories, because often people start counting calories because they know their diet is excessively filled with bad calories, toxic calories. Right. And so when you start moving towards social groups which don't judge you for your food consumption or bully you into consuming stuff, you need to track calories far less because you're eating what you want, what your body is signaling that it needs. And the calorie number doesn't really matter because you're getting the life, longevity, health span, nutrition in naturally, listening to your body's cues. Right. And because we've dealt with the emotions as well, we know that those cues are true hunger and true biological requirement, which is great because you want to be able to feed your body fuel and nutrition so that it's amazing and strong and capable. So these are the core seven things that I really believe you need to get rid of the apps, to stop tracking, to stop yo-yo dieting, and be consistent long term. And again, it's the stuff we do in our mind body nourishment program. So number one is sleep. Number two is hydration. Number three is exercise. Number four is getting off medications. Number five is nutrition. Number six is emotional healing. And number seven is social connection. And more importantly, the right social connection. And the other one that I wanted to throw in here at the end that's important as well, because I know that many people listening are in stages of life where their hormones aren't playing ball, is that hormones can be a real factor for your cravings, your body shape, your body situation, your health status, and the modern world really does cook our hormones, particularly for women, but also men as they age too. Testosterone levels are dropping catastrophically, and we've got some nice little ways for the men we work with to be able to jack up their testosterone and get it up naturally without medication or supplementation. But the point is, for men and women, hormones are important. And whether it be the fluoride in the water, or whether it be the toxins in the food, or the ultra-processed sugar and, you know, high fructose corn syrup and the vegetable oils, whatever it is that is messing with your hormones, I can guarantee your hormones will be more regulated if you deal with these seven things. And then hormones might need to be something else that we look at. But these seven things are the fundamental core of being a healthy person. And if you get these right, the likelihood that your hormones will be messy is far less likely. And I can guarantee that. There's very few people that would be nailing all seven of these things and also have hormones that are up shit creek without a paddle. But it's possible. And I know that, you know, we all live stressful, busy lives that are crazy, and sometimes it can be hard to get on top of the things that we need. But that's why we bang on the drum of one tweak a week, small changes over a long period of time. We're going through a lifestyle transformation to do this stuff. You don't do all of this stuff on Monday. You do it over 4 months, 6 months, 12 months, so that in 2 or 3 or 4 years, you're an absolute specimen of a human being that you are so proud of and you love and care about and respect, rather than getting to 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, having tried 25 diets, counted 30 million calories, and you're still sad, depressed, and in a body that you're unhappy with. So, all of that was off the cuff for you here on whatever day you're listening to this podcast. If you have enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. Take a screenshot, put it in your social media stories. You can find me on the social media platforms. Remember, we're on YouTube. You can look for How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. Head over there, follow. We've got heaps of good stuff over there. We are also now, or I am also now, on Instagram as The Real Weight Loss Coach. So plenty of content going to be shared there about all of the stuff I'm talking about right now, in lots of different snippets and hacks and tips and secrets and blah, 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 all that. So head over to YouTube, head over to Instagram, or share this with somebody that needs to hear it. And in the meantime, I hope you have a fantastic day, and I'll see you on the next episode. Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast. Simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.